Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Later on, Walmart's war on the workers. But first,
a Southern California rally calling for improved warehouse jobs turned into a sit-in action that led to the arrest of 13 people. The workers were protesting the economic tragedy which is unfolding in the hub of the new global economy, the Inland Empire region of Southern California that houses massive warehouses for the nation's largest retailers.
This region is in the middle of a depression with one of the highest rates of unemployment. However, its low-wage temporary workers are speaking out and are at the core of a growing fight back. We're joined by Isabel Castellan, warehouse worker and sit-in participant, along with Esther Portillo, community organizer and sit-in participant, and Greg Denier, communications director of Change to Win.
Why don't we begin by finding out a good deal more about this region? Tell us about how it became a massive warehouse, if you will, for just that, four warehouses and huge retail stockhouse.
This is Greg Denier of Change to Win. What happened is, as the U.S. economy shifted from a manufacturing economy to a retail economy, to a supply economy and a logistics economy, jobs shifted from the United States into China and into Southeast Asia. The port of Long Beach in Los Angeles became the port of entry from the sweatshops across the world into the U.S. market. As things came into the Los Angeles Long Beach port, they had to be transported into a distribution center. The Inland Empire, which is east of Los Angeles and Orange counties, offered cheap land and a potential for low-wage labor. So we now have in the Inland Empire, Riverside and San Bernardino counties in California, the largest single concentration of warehouses in the world. Over 100,000 workers, most of them working for temporary agencies, are at this hub of the global economy. This is where the sweatshops of China meet the shelves of Walmart. It is supposedly the new American economy. These were to replace the jobs that we lost in manufacturing. What we see, however, is conditions that we wouldn't even recognize as being U.S. working conditions. This area has the fourth highest rate of particle air pollution in the world. It rivals the third world in the quality of air. We see workers, the majority of whom do not have regular jobs with their employers like Walmart or Lowe's or Home Depot, but work through hundreds of temp agencies who have no commitment to these workers, offer no benefits, and no security. Right now, we're looking at the highest unemployment in the United States. At the same time, as workers lose jobs, have no hours to report for, no days of work, they aren't entitled to unemployment compensation because they're only temporary workers. What we see here is not the U.S. of the 21st century that we dream of. What we see is the U.S. of the 19th century that we try to forget.
Isabel, you were involved in a protest last week, which ultimately turned into a sit-in. What were you demonstrating about?
What we were demonstrating is that, you know, we want change here in the Inland Empire and, you know, want to get a point across that, you know, that these conditions that we're going through are horrible. And, you know, we're not treated fairly and, you know, we're being disrespected. You know, it's like when I was arrested, I felt honored because not a lot of people, you know, have, you know, I was scared myself. But then when I was just coming out and seeing the people out there that, you know, were crying and were chanting, it's like I felt really, really proud. And it's just, you know, we want to demonstrate these temporary agencies that, you know, that we, you know, we want a decent life. You know, we want a decent wage. We want stability and, you know, health benefits. And we deserve it because we work really hard.
Well, I want to move back. I want to find out who the workers are. How many workers are we talking about? Are all of them temp workers? And what actually are the conditions that you all face? Isabel, I don't know if you want to take that or Esther?
Sure. Well, the workers are, there's about 90,000 workers that work in this industry. Most of them are temporary workers. They get paid minimum wage. They have no affordable access to affordable health care. They basically have instability on the job. They have, you know, no equipment or health and safety. There's a lot of health and safety issues in these warehouses. And they basically, you know, it's when it's cold out here in the Inland Empire, it's like a freezer in these warehouses. There's no ventilation. Workers are not given breaks. They're not allowed many times to go to the bathroom. And it's really, really horrendous conditions. And really, our action was really focused, and we were addressing and holding responsible the five major corporations that dominate this industry. And those companies are Walmart, Target, Lowe's, Home Depot, Sears, and Kmart. Even though we did the action at the temp agency, our demand was that these companies are held responsible, that we end the temp system, and that, you know, basically these companies are utilizing the temp system to further exploit these workers.
Isabel, tell us about how you got involved in the warehouses there, what kind of work you do, and what led you particularly to protest.
Well, first of all, I'm a single mother. I'm 25 years old, and, you know, I've been in the industry for 6 years now. Ever since the beginning, you know, it's like wherever, you know, I thought that once you work for a company, you know, you go directly, but then they tell you to go back and you have to apply through a certain agency. So, you know, that's what I did. So for the past 6 years, I've been very, you know, very unstable, and I don't own anything. You know, I have a dream, you know, like of owning a house and having a car, but I can't because, you know, I get moved around a lot. You know, I have to apply through several agencies. If they're out of work in one company, you know, then I have to go through a different agency and find work in a different company. And as a matter of fact, it's like I don't even qualify for unemployment because I haven't stayed stable in one job for 6 months. So I feel very desperate, very impotent because I can't be stable. And I feel like these temp agencies are ruining my life, basically, or are running my life because I can't, you know, get anything under credit. It has really affected me in such a way that, you know, I'm living with my parents and I want to move out, but I can't because I don't have any job security. I have to pay for my son's lunch meal, and, you know, because same thing, you know, they can't afford it too. So how am I going to pay for my son's meal if I don't have a job? It's like my parents can help me up to so much, but the reason I got involved into this because I'm tired of it. You know, we're all tired of it. We want to change. We want these companies to be responsible for, you know, basically for us. You know, we want health benefits. You know, we want the respect. And basically, we feel like objects pretty much. They move us whenever we want. They decide how much we're going to work for how much. And, you know, and it's like sometimes we work for one day out of the week. You know, we don't get our 40 hours, not even our 8 hours. And it's really bad.
One of the most outrageous things that happens is the temp workers are required to pay $10 for their own time card. To keep track of their hours worked, to make sure that they get accurate pay, they're required to pay for their time cards. In some instances, workers come into work and don't work enough hours to even cover the cost of their time card. Again, this is reminiscent of a 19th century America where workers worked at the company store and never were able to get out of debt. It's a disposable workforce that companies such as Walmart, which reported record profits yesterday, you know, is keeping these people in the state of suspended poverty, where they work and work and work, but have little hope of ever getting ahead.
And unemployment benefits?
They don't exist for temporary workers.
They don't exist for temporary workers just in California?
No, nationwide, as Isabel was explaining, in order to get unemployment benefits, you must have steady employment for 6 months. But since they work from temp agency, warehouse to work warehouse, they often are not able to get 6 months at one particular job. So they never get eligibility for unemployment benefits.
Esther, I want to bring you into the conversation because you're a community organizer. I want you to talk about your role in this protest and why you're there.
Sure. Well, I actually have been living in Fontana, where we did the action for over 20 years. And, you know, I have been very observant of how our community has changed over the years since the warehouse industry came here to Fontana in the Inland Empire region. And basically, over the years, I've seen how this has impacted the community as a whole. Like it was mentioned before, the pollution here in this area is horrendous. And, you know, these workers, you know, don't have the health insurance, don't have good pay. What we're seeing on the ground when we go door to door is workers doubling, tripling in apartments. A lot of them are literally searching through dumpsters for food for their families. I mean, it's really here in the Inland Empire, it has become the depression. And we have also, you know, seen workers sleeping in their cars. It's just a very bad situation, and I think this has made workers, you know, take these types of actions because of you know, the lack of pay, the crisis that they're living in, and, you know, knowing that these companies are here and that they can pay a living wage, but they just, you know, they won't. And so we believe that taking these sort of actions will force them to end the system and bring about some change.
I just want to go back to the conditions. I want to find out a little bit more about how many workers are employed in the overall region that have come into this warehouse. And what are we talking about? How many square footage of warehouse space, just to give a sense of what the area looks like and the traffic involved, et cetera, and the wage that people get?
Yeah, I can answer that, Rick. So basically the Inland Empire, I mean, you come here and you basically just see enormous warehouses. There's about 410 million square feet of warehousing.
410 million square feet?
Yes. It's,
wow.
The size of Rhode Island. It's enormous. You see trains bringing in goods, but you see mostly trucks, thousands of trucks coming into our communities and through, you know, the roadways, freeways here, bringing in the goods from the Long Beach and the LA port. There's about 90,000 workers that work in this industry, mostly, you know, temporary workers. It's an everyday thing to see, you know, truck traffic in our major, you know, streets, major arteries, freeway arteries. It's even very chaotic to get around here.
And that's all diesel.
Diesel trucks. There's like childhood asthma is enormous, specifically here in Fontana and Riverside, in a community called Mira Loma, where there's like the largest concentration of warehouses here in the Inland Empire. And there's been studies done with children with asthma. I mean, it's been done by major studies by USC about childhood asthma in this area. And it's very problematic, especially when their parents, you know, can't provide basic necessities that they need.
I want to switch back to the demonstration, because it first started as a traditional demonstration outside of the employment agency. Tell us about that, and also when the decision or why the decision was made to go to a sit-down strike.
Sure. I also participated in the sit-in that we did. And basically, we have done numerous marches on the boss. We did a march on the boss at the Kmart warehouse. It was a Kmart Sears warehouse. Where actually this particular warehouse, it was about permanent warehouse workers who were laid off. About almost 50 of them were laid off in a very disrespectful manner. They were given no severance pay or recall rights. And we, you know, did a march on the boss there. We've been doing several protests at the warehouses, sending letters, sending congregations of clergy leaders. We have support of the bishop here in the Inland Empire, the Catholic bishop here. And it's been escalating, and we really believe that at this point we had to take a different kind of an action. And this, you know, we decided to do this action to shed more light on this issue and really send a strong message to these corporations.
And tell us about the arrests, how they ensued, and what is the state of the protests at this time?
Well, you know, the Fontana Police Department came in with riot gear. They brought dogs in to take the people in the sit-in. And, you know, we were definitely very peaceful, you know, protesting this. We had about, I would say, 200 people outside of the temp agency protesting the system. And then there was 13 of us in the sit-in. We also dropped a banner over the name of the temp agency, which is Staff Mark. And we basically dropped a banner that said, "Walmart, don't temp out the American dream." And that basically, we had clergy come in and, you know, do a prayer for this action and for the people who are participating in this action as well.
Are people, have they been let go? Are they still inside the factory, and are they still inside the jails?
No, we were released that same day. You know, we were released the same day.
With what charges?
Trespassing. It was trespassing. And, you know, it was actually from talking to other people in the community here in Fontana and in the Inland Empire, this has been the first civil disobedience in about 20 years. in this area. And the community was very supportive and came out and supported this action, as well as religious leaders as well.
And Greg, if you could talk more generally about the campaign that Change for Wind is waging in this area and the resources that you're devoting.
Well, Change to Win is dedicated to organizing the jobs, the industries and the occupations, the future, and the American economy, the logistics chain from the ports to the warehouses, to the distribution centers, to the retail outlets, will be the largest single sources of new jobs over the next 20 years. So we have a national campaign to organize all aspects of the logistics chain. Key to that is the Inland Empire, because it is the largest single concentration of warehouse space in the supply chain in the United States. So what we have is a broad-based community campaign that simply isn't trying to organize a singular employer or worksite, but we're trying to change the entire system. We want an end to the temp system. You know, we're not asking for just a new deal. We want a whole new deck. We want jobs that people can count on, that if they work hard and they're productive, that they can get pay increases, that they and their families have a shot at the American dream. So it is focused on this concentration of workers, and it is focused on this community because they play such a critical role. But nationwide, we are trying to organize all of the jobs that will be the dominant jobs in the new economy of the United States.
And how can people find out more about this particular struggle and how to support the workers? And when they go back to court, we want those charges dropped.
WarehouseWorkersUnited.org is the website you can go to. And I think that in the next weeks and months, we're going to see more actions across the Inland Empire until we get change in that system, until we end the temp system.
Well, Isabel Castellan, I thank you for your courage and your conviction and our community organizer as well, Esther Portillo and Greg. Thank you all for the work that you do, because it is about organizing to protect our jobs, our rights, and to get those jobs when we don't have them. We can't privatize and temp out our lives. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Bye.
It was summer 05 when Walmart and I signed the biggest deal of the year. They gave me a pin and a smiley face grin and said, "Garth, boy, you'll love it here." But I had my doubts, so I went to find out what's hidden behind Walmart's smirk. I opened that door, my jaw hit the floor. That's one f***ed up place to work. Now I got friends with low wages. They work for Walmart in outrageously bad conditions. Don't get caught bitching. Hey! Their healthcare plan fits on two pages, so they're sick and tired and contagious. Yeah, I got friends with low wages. Now, one thing I've learned, when Americans get burned, they won't just sit and complain. They know their rights to stand up and fight for jobs that are fair and humane. When those Walmart guys hear the word unionize, they go completely insane. They'll find out who, and boy, if it's you, you're in for a world of pain. Yeah, I got friends with low wages. They work for Walmart in outrageously bad conditions. 'Cause the union's missing. It's time for us to be courageous and stop these union busting outrages. 'Cause I don't need any more friends with low wages. Yeehaw!
And to be clear, that was not Garth Brooks singing Truth to Walmart. And now, to further bring the point home, Walmart's War on the Workers, produced by WakeUpWalmart.com.
Working at Walmart, I feel like a high school kid working at McDonald's after they take my benefits out and insurance.
I'm getting food stamps. I'm in transitional housing. It's just degrading because I put 10 years in Walmart and I make $11.30.
Walmart made $12 billion in profit last year, but none of that reached us.
With the union contract, I'm looking at better health care, also better wages. It's something that's been needing to happen for a long time.
The associates are afraid. They're intimidated and they're afraid. I live in America. My families and other families have paid that price of freedom. And when you tell me I can't talk about a union, you're taking my freedom from me.
You know, I open the newspaper and I look at the financial section and I see Walmart is the only retailer that's making a profit.
Walmart's slogan is save money, live better. Walmart's saving money and living better at the associates' expense. Half of the associates can't even afford the health care that's offered to them.
I have three boys. I had to get Florida Kids Care to cover their medical because it's either you eat or you have medical coverage. You understand what I'm saying?
We should have the right to have decent benefits so that we can afford to stay healthy. Makia, she was a wonderful person. A lot of times we were sitting outside, me, her, and some other associates, and she would be holding her head with migraines. You know, we tell her, Kia, you need to get into the doctor. And she'd say, oh, girl, you know, I can't afford it. She made it in, and she went to swipe her badge, and she fell over. They took her to the hospital and found out that it was a blood clot, so an aneurysm. And she survived two surgeries, and then she passed. Walmart shares a portion of responsibility, you know, with that, because I believe that they should have given her the opportunity to call in, get well, you know, take care of herself.
When Walmart fails to provide health care for more than half of its employees, that puts workers and their families all across the country at risk of losing their health care, too. It also means the taxpayers have to pick up the tab for all of those folks who end up going on Medicaid. It isn't about attacking Walmart. This is about demanding more responsibility from an extraordinarily profitable and successful company. I don't mind standing up for workers and letting Walmart know they need to pay a decent wage and let folks organize.
With us being able to get the choice of having a union come into our store, we're going to be able to spend more money. So I think that's going to also help with the economy.
Since we've started talking union, the company has held meetings. They've flown people in. They've even mentioned as far as with a union, there's a possibility that stores may close.
If we even get a whiff of any kind of union talk or union activity with the associates, we are to call the union hotline and to report it. If the associates continue to be engaged in union activity, then Bentonville Home Office will send in a labor team to the store. The labor team tells the associates if a union comes in, they will lose their discount card, paid vacations, holidays, and could be reduced in pay or positions even cut.
These mandatory meetings were coming in. It would seem like to be one after another. They almost seem to be like almost every single day.
And they threaten them. They tell them, well, it's illegal to talk about a union.
Our store manager has even asked, have you signed a union card? A lot of them fear for their job.
The personnel director came up to me and she goes, well, Mark, are you for the union or are you against the union?
In my old Walmart store that I worked in, they've given them direction to put signs on their personal vehicles. It says, just say no to unions.
Walmart is trying to pinpoint associates that refuse to do it so that they can start focusing on them and, you know, finding out who might be involved because they're refusing to put anti-union stickers on there.
We need a freedom of choice so that we do have the freedom as associates in Walmart and other companies to talk about a union.
We cannot be afraid no more. And now with President Obama being in office, this is our time.
If we don't stick together as one, nothing is going to change. We have to come together as a group to make things better for everybody.
With President Obama in as our president now, we definitely are going to bring a change to America. And we're all going to join hands and make that change.
Because this is how change happens in America. This is how ordinary people come together and do extraordinary things.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.